Number four, she finally says that she found him whom her soul loveth, and she would not let him go. She found him and she hung on. Now, I believe I can say in all honesty tonight, friend, if you ever find Jesus, you found a treasure. And we ought to hold on to it. Hold him tightly. Amen. Whatever we do, don't ever let him stray from our immediate presence. Find him in your life and hold on to him. Amen. He'll be the greatest friend that you've ever had. He'll be the greatest treasure that you've ever possessed. He'll be the greatest blessing of life to you and your family. Amen. If you'll just find him and hold on. You know, and I'm amazed at Mary Magdalene. The first thing she went for in the Lord was his feet. Amen. And somebody said, why? Jesus said, don't touch me right now. I'm not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. But she had missed him those 3 days. Amen. I'll assure you, my friend, when she found him, she had all intentions of holding on, hanging on to him, finding Jesus and holding on. Yes. And as we come now to these verses in our study in chapter 3, the church here begins a search for her beloved, a search for the Lord. By night, she said, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth, but I found him not. And, you know, I've seen a great truth that is running throughout the entire book of the Song of Solomon. And it seems as though one moment the church is in very close communion with our Lord, and then in the very next verse or two verses down, it seems that she has drifted into somewhat of a sleepy and slothful and secure frame of her spirit. I know that she was in a sleepy mood here in verse number 1 because the Bible said that it was nighttime and that she was on her bed. And for some reason or another, she had drifted into a sleepy and a slothful and a secure state of mind. I want to say right here, church, we are secure in the Lord. Amen. Thanks be unto God. We have found Him as our all in all. He has saved us by the marvelous grace of God. He has sealed us with His Holy Spirit. And we have not only earthly, but we have heavenly or eternal security in our Lord. But I want to say, hey, I'm confident that the Lord does not reveal all of this security at us all in one lump. I mean, you just don't really comprehend all the security you have in Him, and especially your earthly security. You know, we worry more about our earthly sojourn, I do believe, then we worry about whether we're going to make it to heaven or not. You might as well say amen right there. Amen. Baptists are prone to worry about their security in this life, but many of them, I'm afraid, are prone to worry about the security they have in heaven. And the Lord does not reveal that truth to us all at one time. Or we may understand that it's in the Bible, but I'm talking about experiencing that truth down within our heart. And I think the reason that He does that is very simple. Do you know if we get too secure in life that we'll have a tendency just to lay down on God? Amen. If we get real secure and our mind begins to relax just a little bit, it'll not be long, friend, until we'll find ourselves just like this little bride laying on the bed in the night season and we're asleep on God. I'm going to tell you, He will not tolerate a sleeping bride. Mark her down, friend. You may be here and saved, and I'll assure you, you just drag your feet in your Christian life and let your zeal just wax a little cold for the Lord, and it'll not be long till in your heart you'll feel like the bride did here, that the Lord is departed from you, and you have to put out a diligent search that you may find Him again. I wrote down in my notes here that we must guard against negligence and complacency. The Bible said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, I'm telling you, friend, you can neglect what God has done for you in delivering your soul. We have a wonderful salvation. Amen. But if we get sleepy on God and neglect our salvation, just lay down on your prayer life, back up on your Bible reading, lay down on your worship, get cold in the house of God, drift just a little while. I'll assure you, you'll wake up one of these days realizing, my friend, that God hath departed from you. Somebody said, oh, preacher, God does not depart from His people. I want to remind you about Samson, my friend, that let his life get in a mess with sin, and came a day and night in his life, in the night season, by the way, that he rose up to go away from the Philistines and suddenly realized that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, and he wist not, that is, he did not even realize that God had gone. Now, I'm afraid many of us today, God has gone from our hearts, from our homes, from the house of God, and we don't even realize that God's gone. We're running through the motion and a playing game with God, and God hath departed from us. I know that is right. Negligence and complacency, friend, two of the greatest enemies of the child of God. And they'll come about because of our zeal for our security. Oh, I can't lose it, so I'll just play a while. I'm going to heaven, so there's no need of being so zealous. There's no need of being so fervent. There's no need of getting fanatical about this thing. I'll tell you, I sat down in a meeting at Brother Whitlow's across the table one night from one of his men, and the man looked at me in the face just as calm as he could be. He said, Brother Hall, there's one thing I've seen in your preaching that I really admire. I said, sir, thank you. What might that be? He said, I've come to determine that you are very, very fanatical about what you believe. I said, you better believe I am, sir. I'd rather be a fanatic about the Lord, my friend, than to dry up on the vine and be dead, twice dead, and plucked up by the root. You mark her down. I'm going to try to walk as close to God, amen, in His presence, that the Holy Ghost will possibly allow me on this side of the river. Hallelujah to God. Yes, sir. Now, just stay with me here. Notice where she looked. She first, in verse number 1, by night, on my bed, I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. That is, she sought Him while she was sleeping. Now, I want to say to you sleeping pilgrim, you'll never find Him in your sleep. Well, no. I believe what Brother Paul said in the book of Romans, that knowing the time that now is, time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now, I'm telling you, friend, nobody in their search of God will find Him in a slumbering, sleepy state. You're going to have to get that spiritual duck butter out of your eyes, anoint your eyes with eyesalve. Amen. Open up your mind, your heart, and seek after God with a little bit of zeal in your soul. You will never find Him with a sleeping, slumbering spirit about you. Never find it. I will say, secondly, she not only sought Him on her bed when she was sleepy, but notice in verse number 2, when she couldn't find Him there, she said, I will rise now. That's the way most of us are, isn't it? After we spend our time frivolousing things away, looking for God where He cannot be found, finally determined that He's not going to be found in our sleepy state, then we decide that we're going to rise, and that's what she did. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets. Now that's the next place she began to look for Jesus. In the city, in the streets. Somebody said, "Preacher, well, hey, I'm talking about out where the crowds are." She got out in the streets where the crowds are. Now, I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. You are not going to find Jesus out there where the crowds are. He's not running with the crowd. He did not run with the crowds in His day. He ran with the redeemed of the Lord. And we're not in a majority now. Never have been in a majority. Never will be in a majority. And if you're going to find God, forget about the crowd and find Him down at the church house with that little blood-bought crowd that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and set their affection upon things above. You ain't going to find Him in the crowds. Son, this stinking ecumenical movement today is a mess. I mean, just come together. You know what I'm saying? And after all, just forget about what you believe. And let's just all of us come together and worship God in our own little way. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm not an ecumenist. I'm not looking for Jesus around the promise keepers. I'm not looking for Him around the Pope. I'm not looking for Him around the Ministerial Association in Madisonville, around this bunch of scurvy hound dog independent Baptists in Madisonville, that 99% of them's got the fleas and the manes and everything that goes along with it, thinking that you can find Him out in the crowds. He's not running in the streets, my friends. Well, no, and you'll not find Jesus running with the crowd. She sought Him in the crowd, but again she found Him not out yonder in the crowd. Notice the third place. Thirdly, it said in verse 2, I will now rise and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways will I seek Him whom my soul loveth. When she couldn't find Him on the bed, and she couldn't find Him in the streets in the crowd, she began to look in the broad way. That's where a whole lot of folks are at today. Oh, preacher, if you just get a little more broad-minded, if you just wasn't so narrow-minded, we could sure find God at your... Oh, you ought to have a hymn sang, or you ought to invite some well-known quartet in and give them $5,000 to sing. And son, we can set our lawn chairs up on the hill and put on our Bermuda shorts, drink Pepsi-Cola on ice bread, and have a time in God. I'm here to tell you, He's not in the Broadway. Oh, no. In fact, as the Lord said, we ought to enter in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and very few there be that find it. You're not going to find Him in the Broadway. Oh, no. You will not find Him in the Broadway. Notice what she finally does in verse 4. She said in verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from Him, but I found Him. Oh, in verse 3, I'm sorry. The watchman that go about the city found me. To whom said I, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? Hey, when she got serious about finding Him, and quit looking in the wrong places, she found the Lord. Hey, she found Him when she inquired about Him in the proper place. She went, hey, that's right. She went right to the watchman of the city and those that kept guard over the city, those that kept their eyes and their watch over the city, those that knew where everyone about the city was, and inquired of Him, have you seen Him whom my soul loveth? The Bible said that it wasn't but a little while after I passed by them that I found Him whom my soul loveth, and said when I found Him, I held on to Him and would not let Him go until I took Him to my mother's house and into the chambers of her that conceived me. You know who those watchmen are that guard the city? I'm going to tell you who I believe they are. Just said watchmen, two of them. I believe it's talking about the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Friend, if you want to find the Lord in your life, now everybody look right up here at me. Some of you have got the problem that you think Dr. Bottle Stopper can tell you where to find God. You got the idea that some individual can tell you where to find God. Oh, an acquaintance, a friend, a family member who has got all the answers can tell you where to find God. I mean, they've got all the answers for you, friend. Oh, yes, sir. And they've learned the terminology and a few phrases. They know the answer to your problems and to your needs and everything about you. And they can tell you where you can find Christ for your life. But I'm going to tell you who's got the answer to where He is lurking, my friend, is the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And these are they that speak of me. And when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will glorify me, Jesus. The same. You won't find Him. Go inquire. Ask the Lord where He's at. Ask the Holy Ghost where Jesus is at in your life. Well, some folks out here tonight say, "Now, preacher, I've got Him. I know where He's at." I don't know whether some of you do or not. Huh? Some of you come into church picking your nose, flipping boogers on the floors. I wonder if you come to the house of God looking for Him. And if you don't come to the house of God looking for Him, I've got serious doubts you look for Him anywhere else. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, but she found Him. When she found Him, she held on. She would not let Him go. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, friend, if you've discovered His love and His grace, Amen. If you've discovered the mercies of Jesus, hang on to Him. Amen. Guard that relationship. Amen. Protect that relationship. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Run your race with patience. Let set your affection on things above. Hold on to Jesus. Read your Bible. Pray, my friend, find a prayer closet. Worship God. Get in on preaching. Get in on singing. Get in on praising. Lay hold of Him and hang on, my friend. I'm going to tell you, as one old man said, He'll take you for the ride of your life. Huh? I'll never forget one time I was a boy. The fellow named Laverne Overshiner had an old motorcycle. And he said, "Jerry, get on here. I'm going to take you for the ride of your life." And son, he popped it to that thing. And I didn't know. I was just sitting on it, just sitting there. I didn't know you were supposed to put your hands back on that brace. Son, he didn't even know what happened, buddy. It throwed me back, and I was fighting for dear life. Just to hang on, son. I mean, they wasn't but 6 inches between the back of my head and blacktop. And old Laverne was a shouting hallelujah. Had the front end of that Harley up in the air, buddy, a walking the dog. He took me for a ride for my life. Amen. If I hadn't held on, amen to God, I'd have lost her somewhere along the way. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. Hold on to Him. Amen. Oh, yes, He'll take you for a ride for your life. There is nothing like walking with Him like Enoch did and being a was not. There's nothing like finding grace in the eyes of the Lord like Noah did. And walking with God. Nothing like, my friend, like Abraham. And walking before God all the days of your life. Oh yeah, find Him whom your soul loveth. And when you find Him, hold on. He'll give you a ride for your life. Hallelujah to God. I know He will. Hallelujah. Find Him. When she found Him, she would not let Him go. Now, I want to say, I'm still in the introduction now. If you're going to find Christ, you're going to have to look for Him for the right reason. You're going to have the right motive. You ever read in John chapter number 6 where the Lord took the loaves and gave the discourse on the bread of life and break the loaves and fed those people and they saw the miracles? The next day when they realized Jesus was gone and had took ship, that they got on the ship and headed out to try to find Him. You know what the Lord said about that crowd? He said, "Verily, verily I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Amen. There was a crowd that was seeking after Him for carnal reasons. the wrong reason. I'm talking about just seeking Jesus for what they could get out of Him. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, we've got a crowd in Baptist churches today that are like leeches. Amen. They want to hang on like a leech and suck Him for the blood that they can get out of Him. But that's all they want for Him. Just carnal, temporary reasons like the thief on the cross that all He wanted was down. Didn't care a thing about eternal life. He just wanted down. He just wanted down. Carnal reasons, friend. You'll never find Him seeking Him for carnal reasons. I believe it's in John chapter number 12. Some Greeks came to, I believe it was Philip, and asked a question, said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Philip went and told Nathanael, I believe it was Nathanael, and they went and told the Lord. You know what Jesus done? He never even gave them a noticeable nod, son. He never gave them an honorable mention. That is the passage of Scripture that was read 3 times in our meeting with Doug Thompson and with Larry Raines when it said that He said, "While you have light, you better walk in that light." And Jesus spoke that and went and hid Himself from them. Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to tell you, He that knows the heart and searches the heart knows, my friend, what purpose you've got and trying to find the Lord in your life. And I'm here to tell you, if all you're wanting Him for is a ride in the dirty now, forget about it, my friend. He'll avoid you and evade you and hide Himself from you, but you'll never find Him. You ought to have the right reasons, right motives. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are the right motives?" And I'm hurrying. I'm glad you asked. You know, in these 5 verses, in these 4 verses, at least 5 times, that little old church, that little old bride says, "He whom my soul loveth." You will find Him when you search for Him with your whole heart. And you're not apt to search unless you love Him. That's right. People hunt for real treasures. Oh, yes, sir. That's what they're looking for, is real treasures. Now, I'm going to tell you, somebody that loves you and you love them, friend, you have found a real treasure. Your only motive, like Paul said, the love of Christ is what constraineth us. And my friend, the only motive we have in finding Him is because in His absence, our heart pines away. We love Him and desire Him. Amen. And hunger for Him. We're in love with Him because He first loved us. And I tell you, if we're not seeking Him for the very love, the principles of love, we got the wrong motive, the wrong reason for seeking after our God. Amen. Now, I'm going to say you're going to have to look in the right place. A lot of folks looking in the wrong place. See, she did. She looked and tried to find Him on the bed and He wasn't there. Tried to find Him on the street and He wasn't there. Tried to find Him in the broadways and He wasn't there. But when she looked in the right place, she found Him. Now, I couldn't help but to think about Mary Magdalene. I've already got this illustration. I had it written down before Brother Messick ever preached this morning. But I couldn't help but to think of Mary Magdalene. Do you know why? You know, I really believe this. Mary was a little bit confused about the resurrection. Just like a lot of good Baptists are today, friend. Huh? Still hiding Easter eggs. Now, I'm going to get there in just a minute. Now, you just hang on. But I'm going to tell you where Mary Magdalene's problem was. Early in the morning, first day of the week, her and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and that other Mary, all of them got to the tomb real early, and she looked inside the tomb and saw 2 angels. One sitting at the head and one sitting at the feet. And here's what those angels said: "Fear not. Ye seek Jesus. Ye seek Jesus. Ye seek Jesus who was crucified, but He is not here. He is risen, just like He said." Buddy, I'm telling you, I get a little put out with folks that all they want to do is run to the Holy Land and come back and talk about looking in the tomb. My God, I saw the tomb where Jesus was buried. Well, hallelujah and honolulu to God. I've been to the cross where He was crucified, bless your heart. I'm not looking for Him in an empty tomb. He's not there, bless your heart. He has risen tonight. He's not in the grave. He's alive. I want to ask you why. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. You got to look in the right place. He is not in the grave. Poor benighted Roman Catholics. Want to walk into one of their museums of artifacts, I think that'd be a good term, and look for Jesus in a figurine hanging on the wall. He's not there, friend. He is not a dead Savior in a on a cross dead. Neither is He in the tomb. He went to the cross and went to the grave, but He got up! He's not there! He's risen! Don't look for Him there! If you're a sinner, look back to Calvary! Look to Calvary and you'll find Him! If you're a saint, look to the throne! He's on the throne, my friend! As King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're going to find Him, you're going to have to look in the right place to find Him. Hallelujah to God. Now I want to try to get to my message. And I hope I can help some of you tonight. I hope I can. Some of you in here trying to find Him. I'm getting ready to make my application. You're trying to find Him. You don't have to look in the right place. You don't have to look for the right reasons. Or you ain't going to find Him. That's right. You're not in the crowds. He's not in that broad way where everybody else out there thinks He's at. Like that bunch of ecumenical egg suckers that writes all them columns on Sundays in the Messenger newspaper. Pitifulest mess I ever heard in my life. I'd like to write a column. Just one's all they'd let me write. Huh? He's not out there in the broad way, friend. He's not with that crowd of unbelievers. No, He is not with that crowd of religious reprobates who are Pharisees and Sadducees. And scribes that know not God. He's not in that crowd, buddy. He's not in the... Oh, no. I'm going to tell you where He's at. When two or three are gathered together, there He is in the midst. Amen. With 12, with two men walking along the road to Emmaus, brokenhearted. That's where He's at. With a little old brokenhearted woman that thought He was a gardener. That's where He's at. With 120 believers in the upper room when there were multiplied thousands that had crucified Him. And yet, crucify Him. He's not out there, friend. He's in the upper room with that little handful of believers that's been saved by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you where He's at. He's in the church. Unto Him be glory in the church world without end. Amen, John Paul said. Amen. Some of y'all come to church and never look for Him here. Like Brother Messick said this morning, you just look for Hall. Just look for a preacher. Just look for a preacher. I wonder how many people flood churches today and in years going by, as I said this morning, with no other motive other than to hear a great orator expound the Word of God. There ain't nothing wrong with wanting to hear good preaching. But if that's your reason to go, my friend, you've got the wrong reason. Good preaching, expounding the book, brings out the presence of Christ, whom we seek for at the house of God. Oh yes, don't see me. If you see me, God help you miss my preaching. Look for Him. Seek Him. I've got four, five, six places here that I'm satisfied there's people in this room tonight. And that's where you're looking. Some of you's looking. And I'm going to tell you, some of you don't find Him. Some of you's going to go nuts. Amen. And if some of you don't find Him, you're going to go belly up. Amen. You're going to belly up, some of you are. Just like a dead bluegill, son, that's been snagged and thrown back in the water and the fishing hook pulled out all the guts and he's belly up in the water. You're going to belly up if you don't find Him for your life. Amen. You cannot, hey... You cannot survive on what Brother Hall's got. Amen. You cannot make it on what Brother Messick's got. Amen. God wants to give you grace. Amen. God wants to give you help. God wants to give you joy. Amen. God wants to bless you and your family. Right. You're going to have to make it on what God has given for you in your life to make it on. You can't make it on what somebody else has got. Can't make it on mom and daddy what mom and daddy's got. No. Can't do it. No, sir. Now somebody said, preacher, where is it? What do we need to find him in? I want to say, first of all, these people here tonight that need to seek him for salvation. Amen. They need seeking for salvation. Oh, somebody said, oh, no, preacher, we're all saints. If you think I believe that for a minute, you are dumber than a big box of rocks. Amen. I don't believe that for 1 minute. Friend, the lady that got saved on Tuesday night up at Gospel Light Baptist Church had made a profession of faith years ago. Amen. You know where she made a profession of faith? I hope Brother Ricky's listening. I don't mean to say this. I know it won't offend him. I'm sure it won't. Ain't no nothing to this man. She made a profession of faith when she was a little girl under Oliver Green's gospel tent up in North Carolina. Oh, I got saved under Doc Green's ministry. Well, I shook out of Oliver Green's hand. Well, scoop doop de doo. Have you experienced the blood dripping from the cross of Calvary to cleanse your never dying soul from the filthy, nasty sin of ungodliness that was placed there when Adam put the whole human race into sin? Have you experienced that? I'm going to tell you, there's a man saved up there named Barry Eller. On Wednesday night, I never preached. I never even preached. But when I got up, I said, folks, I ain't got a thing to preach. And I said, I'm just telling you, if you've got anything to do tonight or anything to say, you need to do it now. And from about four rows back, they got two rows of pews in that little church. And from about four rows back on the left-hand side, that big grown hulk of a man, my friend, stepped out of that pew and puckered his little old face up with it looked like he had just bit into a persimmon. And he said, preacher, I've got to let me get to the altar. He said, I've got to get saved. And here's what he said. Are you listening to me? He said, months ago, even before this meeting was ever planned, said, I've been a praying and a seeking after God. And he said, I told the Lord, whatever I've got to have, show me. Let me say, hey, reveal to my heart, Lord, I'm looking for God. Tell me where I am and what I got with God. Now, I'm going to tell you, my friend, he said, and no, with no uncertain terms, when I left this place on Tuesday night, that's when the plow went down. Oh, and I'm caught in sin and I can't get out. And my friend, he said, hey, on Tuesday night, in no uncertain terms, the Holy Ghost said, Barry Eller, you're as lost can be. And he said, I prayed, ask God, if I'm really lost, let it seem like the flames of hell is a burning on my feet tonight. And he said, as sure as I'm here, preacher, he said, I didn't see no flames, but the flames of hell was hot under my feet. I'm here to tell you, my friend, sinners need to seek Him for the salvation of their soul. You take a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior looking for one another. They're going to find one another out there somewhere. Huh? I got a feeling the plow's going down a little bit right now. Huh? Somebody said, now, preacher, that is not scriptural. Jesus come to seek and to save that which was lost. Is that right? Is this not scriptural, huh? Well, what are you going to do with John chapter number 3? Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Said, Rabbi, I know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou do except God be with him. Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can these things be? How can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again when he's old? Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water, the Holy Ghost, not baptism, Church of Christ, folks, and the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's right, friend. Sinner man, sinner woman, you better seek Him. I'm telling you, there is a fire raging underneath you, friend, 14 miles underneath you, that cannot be quenched. it ain't going to be put out. Huh? And folks will make every excuse under the sun to stay at home and lay out of church. Oh, yeah. You don't know what you're doing, friend. You do not know what you're doing. May the God of glory be like the song says, He opened up my blinded eyes. Somebody said, Preacher, are you still saying, I see Christ every day of my life. Every day. When's the last time you got earnest about finding Him? By night, on my bed, I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. So I got up out of my bed and went out into the streets and looked in the broadways. I sought Him whom my soul loveth, but I found Him not. Finally, I found the watchman of the city. The watchman of the city that go about the city found me, for whom I said, Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? He hadn't passed by but a little while till I found Him, and when I found Him, whoa, I held on to Him. My friend, I'm telling you, if you're really a child of God tonight and you found Jesus at the cross where you first saw the light, hold on! You have found a treasure, my friend. Worth more than all the oil in Texas, all the gold at Fort Knox. He's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, more precious than gold, yea, than much fine gold. I'm here to tell you, my friend, find Him and hold on to Him. And some of you in here tonight are as lost as a goose. You are playing church. Huh? You are playing church. Somebody said, you don't love us. You want to make us doubt. No? I'm going to get you under the blood. Right. If I make you doubt, I'm going to tell you why I do. Because I doubt about you. Right. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't try to tell nobody they're saved, and I don't try to tell nobody they're lost. That woman that got saved up on Tuesday night, and that's their church, they do what they want, but pastor's wife grabbed a Bible and started to usher her away off in the little old back room. I don't do that stuff. You don't take a woman to the hospital that's having a baby and then take her outside in the parking lot to have it. She has all of her birth pangs in the delivery room. Leave her in there where they're in the delivery room to have the baby. That's where the doctor's at, out in the delivery room. If that's what they want to do, that's fine. But you know what that woman said? They walked through the door and the pastor's wife said, Now, I want to read some scripture to you. That woman said, I don't need no scripture read to me. Then the Holy Ghost read my scripture tonight. I'm lost. Amen. Need nobody to read no scripture to me. I'm lost. I've sought Him whom my soul loveth. Amen. Somebody said, Preacher, how can it be we love Him because He first loved us? Amen. Are you listening tonight? Seeking for salvation. I want to say tonight to you Christians, seek Him for satisfaction. Amen. I've never seen such a generation of people that are not satisfied with nothing. Amen. You can't satisfy people today. I don't care what you do, what they have, they're not satisfied. They're like hell, friend, they'll never get fooled. They'll never be satisfied. Somebody said, Oh, preacher, what about the Scripture for that? I've got some Scripture. What about that little old girl in John chapter number 4? Brought them water pots and come down there to old Jacob's well. Jesus is sitting on the curb of that well. And Jesus said, Give me a drink! And she said, How do you, being a Jew, speak to me who am a Samaritan? Jesus said, If you knew who I was, you would just ask me. I'd give you a drink of living water. Now here comes a verse of Scripture. Jesus said, Whosoever drinketh of this water thirsteth again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Hey, Jesus said, I've got something that will satisfy you. Somebody said, Preacher, how do you know that woman wasn't satisfied? I'm glad you asked. Jesus said, Lady, would you do me a favor, please? Go back to your house and get your husband. She said, Master, I don't have a husband. He said, You're right. Amen. You've had five and you're a whoremongering shack up right now. That's what Jesus said to her. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know what that woman was looking for? She was looking, friend. She was looking for satisfaction in marriage and a man. And all we all have. But what she was really looking for was happiness. That's why folks out there that are divorced today, I'm not happy in this thing. I know there's a greener grass over the hill. Another guy over there got a little bit newer car, a little bit better job. Son, and I can be happy, happy, happy. And I'm telling you, friend, another shot of dope, another drink of liquor, another job, another man, another woman, another night will not satisfy you. You young folks here tonight, you think a hot rod Ford and a $2 bill and a hot spot right over the hill, buddy, is all you need. Oh, Hank, I got a hot rod Ford and a $2 bill. And you gonna find her in a hot rod Ford and a gallon of gas. That's what I thought, son. I got 2 gallons of gas in the car, enough money for the drive-in theater, son. I am on my way. But you know something? When the 2 gallon of gas, when the picture show was ended, by the time I got home, the 2 gallon of gas was gone, and the happiness that I thought I had was gone. And I grew up and got to be a big boy. And I started looking for satisfaction in bigger things. Dancing and crowds and good nightlife. But I woke up the next morning, and I'm going to tell you something. The happiness I thought I was having was gone again. But I'm going to bring one right down to earth where the rubber meets the road. John chapter number 2 in the marriage of Cana. When they were out of wine, Jesus told them, said, hey, told Jesus. He said, they're out of wine. He said, what's that got to do with me, woman? My time's not yet come. He just told those servants, said, you just do whatever he tells you to do. Jesus said, hey, said, fill him water pots up with water. Now go and bear out to the governor. When they bore out to the governor, it was wine, friend, grape juice. Not fermented liquor like they take in the Catholic Church. That governor of that feast said, oh, said, my goodness. Said, most men serve that which is best at first and then that which is worst last. But said, you've saved the best of last. Now I'm going to show you the truth of that. Those people's joy of their religion, all they had was Judaism. They had religion, but they didn't have God, friend. They were trying to find some satisfaction. Jesus said, you'll find it. Joy. Happiness. Amen to God. In the water. Amen. Turned into wine, which is the Word of God. Made the Holy Ghost for you. A well of water springing up in you. Are you listening, folks, trying to find happiness and everything under the sun? But you ain't going to find it, friend, till you find Jesus. Huh? That's right. Folks, all been out of joint. Young people think that they can tie the knot and find happiness. And they tie the knot and find out trouble start. So they get a job. They both go to work. They've got the idea that if they can possess a lot of things, that'll provide happiness. But then the possessing a lot of things creates a problem because it takes money to buy them. And if it takes money to buy them, most of them borrow it. And then they got to work to pay it back. And that ain't no fun. And so all the happiness is gone again. And you're belly up. What I'm trying to tell you is, church, you better make up your mind that you're going to find satisfaction in Jesus Christ and nothing else. You won't find it in nothing else. There's a hollow spot in you, friend, that only He can fill. Are you listening to me tonight? I want to say, seek Him. Now listen now. Seek Him for sympathy. Somebody said, preacher, we don't need Him. But you don't. Well, what do you do when you run around and bend every Tom, Dick, and Harry's ear in the country about your little problems? And I'm your pastor, and I want you to come to me and tell me. I want to pray for you. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But I'm telling you, my friend, you need to seek Him. He can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He can show you some. And, oh, I've got a good illustration for that. What about that little old woman had an issue of blood? 12 years! and spent all that you had on physicians and didn't get a bit better, got worse and worse and worse. You know what she was saying? She'd go to them physicians and reach in her pocket and lay out money and say, "Sir, I've got a blood issue. My God, is there anybody here that can sympathize with me? I've got to have help." Say, some of you in here, God's got to have help. Well, you need somebody that can stroke your heart with a touch of grace, my friend, and pour in the healing balm of Gilead and sympathize with you in the dilemma, the calamity that you're in life right now. Now, I'm going to tell you, there ain't no human person do it. I'm going to tell you what that little old woman with that blood issue did. She had suffered many things of many physicians. In Mark 5:25, she had spent all she had. She had run her course. But was nothing better, but grew worse. That's exactly how some of you are here tonight. You've tried everything on the sun, and you ain't done nothing but get worse. You try this, and think happiness is there, and it falls through. And you try it here, and it falls. I found a little happiness in life. I said, "I want to go join the army." I thought, poor benighted moron. Whole fool. Whole fool, son. Are you hearing what I'm saying, friend? Sympathy. What did old brother Job say in Job 16:1? "Miserable comforters are y'all! I sought him whom my soul loveth. I looked for him on the bed when I was sleeping. I looked for him in the streets and the broad ways, but he wasn't there. But I inquired the watchman, and the Holy Ghost of God said he's that way. Amen. And I found him whom my soul loved. I found him for salvation. I found him for satisfaction. He is a sympathizing Savior that knows my woes of my heart." My God, I'm telling you, friend, amen, some of you folk need to find you a prayer closet and talk to Jesus. Seeking for sympathy. I want to say fourthly, seeking for your sustenance. Somebody said sustenance. Now don't back off from me right now. I'm not talking. Hey, Job said in Job 23:12, "I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Now somebody said, "Brother Hall, what's that got to do with us?" I'm glad you asked, because I'm ready to tell you. I said you need to seek Him for your sustenance. Now, there's some of you jaybirds in here. Are you listening to me now? Hey, you don't mind a bit in this world to go out and turn 8, 10, and 12 hours a day seeking sustenance to maintain your flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you what Jesus told that crowd. "Labor not for meat that perisheth." You will spend all your life and work your fingers to the bone to try to put on a pot yet and wouldn't give an idea to God for the sustenance of your own soul. That's why we're anemic down at the church house. We had learned to seek Him. His Word, Job said, "I esteem it far more necessary than my own food for this body that I'm eating." Then if that's true, why are we so diligent in laboring with our hand and fail to labor in spiritual? I almost wanted to put a point in there seeking for spirituality. I wonder if we had a scale that would measure the spirituality of our hearts tonight and we all stepped up on it, exactly how high would we register? On a gong from about 1 to 10, I'd say most of us probably wouldn't get over a 2. Pitiful, weak. My God, we're weak. Lord, help us. Sustenance. Seek Him. I sought it. I'm on the bed, Lord. I need a little nourishment for my soul. I just don't think I want to go to church today. Doesn't God right? After all, my wife said boo to me last night.
Nothing goes right.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Praise God, I'm on fire for God. Oh, how I love. I'm going to tell y'all something. If I come in here and preach to every service like some of you worship, you'd run me off in 2 weeks.
Amen.
Charge you a thing for that.
Amen.
Seeking for your sustenance. I want to say, fifthly, seeking for some kind of support.
Amen.
Support.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, what do you mean support? Old brother Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 said, I had a thorn in the flesh and it aggravated the life out of me, and said, I sought the Lord 3 times.
Amen.
But He'd take it away. And you know what He came back with the answer? He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Amen.
And my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength and your weakness, Paul.
Amen.
And what do you think the real support was there that propped Paul up? What was it? I'm looking for the answer. I just told you.
My grace! I'm going to tell you something, friend. The same grace that saves you will support you in overwhelming floods.
Yes, sir, buddy. He'll undergird you with grace and bear you up and lift you up. I know that's right. He'll support you. Now, I want to say in closing, and this may not be the... I think it fits a bill. You better seek Him for the sunset, friend.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the one going down over the western sky either.
Amen.
Got that little old picture at the house. Used to hang in one of our rooms at home down in the basement over my little prayer altar. Church gave it to me. I believe the first portrait y'all gave, Ken Holland print, Life's Evening Sun. There's an old song. It says, Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Some of you in here tonight, the sun's setting on you, neighbor. She's going down over the last mountain. I stood with Mrs. Hall in November in Destin, Florida, early one morning, and watched the sun as it made its first signs, its first light up over that ocean. Beautiful. And on another occasion, in the evening, we took pictures of it as it set for its final moment. All the sun laying right on top of that water on that ocean. Beautiful. And in just a matter of minutes, began to sink and sink. And within 3 minutes, the sun was gone. Out of sight. Nothing any more beautiful, I'm telling you, nothing any more beautiful in all this world. And there's nothing any more beautiful than for the sun to set on the life of a saint that's lived their life for God. Beautiful. I've told about old Ross Robertson. Laid up there in bed and tears on out of his face. And he said, Pastor, what are you doing here? And I said, I come to be with you, Brother Ross. He said, you didn't need to do that. He said, you don't have to bother yourself. He said, I'm just going to be with Jesus. Friend, that may not stir you, but that excites my soul. I'm talking about a beautiful sunset. I'm talking about a beautiful sunset. Another man, since I've been here, I watched him die since I've been here.
And he screamed and moaned and yelled and kicked. Eat up with cancer. Wouldn't come to the church. But when the sun set on his life, it was not
a beautiful sight, friend. Listen to what I'm saying. You better seek him before the sun set. Neighbor, it's going to set. On all of us. Years will catch up with us.
Amen.
Ann Cater's here tonight, and Mama's up in the hospital. How old is she, Cater? 89. If she could talk and communicate tonight, you know what she'd tell you? She'd say, children, I've been on this planet Earth for 89 years by the good grace of God. But it seems like only yesterday that I was a little girl being dandled on my mom and papa's knee. I'm telling you, friend, you're going to need him in the sunset. You may not see your need for Christ now, but I'm telling you, there's coming an hour
when God will close the final page of the final chapter of your life.
And you're going to need God. You're going to need him. I sought him. I found him not. I sought him on the bed, and I found him not. But I sought him in the streets and the broadways.
Whom my soul loveth, but I found him not.
Amen.
But oh, when I inquired to the watchman where he was, I found him. And when I found him, I hung up.
You found him. You found him for salvation or satisfaction in your life or sustenance or support. The sunset sympathy, buddy, I'm going to tell you, hang on.
Amen.
Hang on. Have you found him tonight? You really know Jesus. I'm not talking about knowing about what I preach. I'm talking about knowing him. You know him? Do you seek him? I don't make any apologies for what I'm getting ready to tell you. I've been preaching for 19 years. And I look for him every day of my life. I seek him. You won't find him with this number. And I'm going to tell you what, friend. One of these days you'll close your arms like this to Jesus. The next time your arms is crossed, Undertaker will be doing it in the casket and you'll be in hell.
Amen.
What about it tonight? I've done my best to preach to you. Let's stand together.
How about it, lost man, lost woman? You seeking for salvation? What about it, saint?
I could have preached a week here. Lord, seeking for help in our service. If I seek him for seeking for singing in the choir and leading the choir and playing the piano and leading the songs, teaching school, teaching the Sunday school class. Lord, seeking for everything we go about doing. Everything we go about doing. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that she found you. Because that assures my heart that if she found you, I can find you. I seek thee, Lord Jesus. I love thee. I look for thee for no other reason than I might love you more and that I might experience your love more. Help our people. Please save those, Lord, that's in our midst. Know not Christ. And I pray for our people that love you, Lord, that you'd stir them up to seek after thee. knowing with assurance in my heart that if they seek, they'll find. Well, the Scripture said, ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Please bless in this invitation. Magnify yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is that verse? 183. God has spoken to your heart tonight. Many are already on the altar. God's spoken to you. Would you resolve in your heart tonight that whatever it takes, and for whatever purpose, you're going to find Him. You're going to find Him. You know where she took Him when she found Him? To the chamber of her mother that He conceived her. Right back to that intimate fellowship again. See, that's the way we are as believers. We'll drift out here, and then we'll catch fire and we'll come back, and we'll drift out here and we'll come back. That's the same, Brother George. God's spoken to your heart. You need to move for Him tonight. While Miss Hall plays through that, can I ask you a real serious question? Do you believe that it was an accident that Junior Messick preached while he preached this morning? And I already had that prepared to preach and could have preached it in the morning hour. I showed it to Brother Messick standing right here. I said, this is what I'm preaching from tonight. He said, preacher. He said, preach it. He said, I found out a long time ago. You get a peg started down in something, you just got to keep driving that peg and driving that peg and driving that peg and driving that peg until finally you get it driven home. He said, drive it home, go. Now, if you didn't get the messages today, I'm going to give them to you in a nutshell. You need to look for Jesus in your life. That's not too. That's like that sign I saw on the road the other day. Big billboard. Big on a giant billboard. That said, what's difficult to understand about thou shalt not? Don't take folks here, but they don't hear.